51.
Now, those of you who have been listening to the last couple of episodes, you might recognize something different. No, I don't have a new co-host yet. Chris sounds the same. Chris is still Chris. It's not a clone. I'm still Gene. I am not a clone, though some people might wish it were otherwise. But we have a new theme song. And the way we got this theme song is a gentleman named Roland, who is a fan of the show, said, I got an idea for a theme song for the PowerCast. Would you listen to it? So Chris, Greg Bishop, Nick Redfern, myself, my wife, my son, we all listen to this theme. It is absolutely fabulous. So we want to thank Roland.
Thank you, Roland.
And his company is called Blue Sky Music. And he wants me to tell you, and I'm happy to say it, he does themes for movies, TV, and various media. So things like ads and stuff like that. And if you want to find more of what he does, it's blueskymusic.com. That's blueskymusic.com. A special thank you to Roland for the fabulous theme for the PowerCast. Thank you, Roland. Now, in some other developments with the PowerCast, the last two episodes have had record download numbers. Now, for example, last week's show with Michael Esposito about EVP, a lot of discussion in the forums, lots of downloads. And the previous week, we had Anthony Sanchez, and therein lies a tale.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, tell us about Anthony Sanchez. What happened 2 days after that show was streamed?
Well, you know, it's hard not to equate his appearance on the PowerCast with what happened the following, I think, Tuesday. He sent out a very cryptic email to a number of people, myself included, that said he was out of the field of ufology. His book was not going to be released. And not to contact him. Don't bother contacting him. Respect his privacy. And then, of course, this created a behind-the-scenes furor, I must say, amongst people who know him. And I did some checking around. I did end up talking with Norio Hayakawa, who's good friends with his. And basically the upshot ended up him having a real difficult personal crisis that happened. It was a family matter. He doesn't want, you know, it discussed publicly, but needless to say, it was impactful enough so that he made this, I think, an ill-conceived decision to post this email, which kind of very rapid-fire fashion zipped around the Internet. And
it became viral.
It became viral amongst people who are interested in his particular UFO highway project, and one of the things that I realized was that the guy, you know, he's really not, I think, he's not prepared, I think, for some of the peripheral things that happen in this field. And perhaps that may have impacted his personal problem with his family and stuff. But I'm not here to judge him. I just feel that it was very ill-conceived on his part to then turn around 2 days after that and announced that the book was going to be put up for sale as an e-version, and that, oh no, he's back in the field, and it's almost like the little boy crying wolf, and to me, it just really takes away whatever credibility he's been maintaining and attaining with his project. It really does put a shadow on it, and hopefully he'll be able to get through his personal difficulties and get himself back on track. But
it was very interesting here to see, though. We have this show on the PowerCast where I think we kind of zinged him a couple of times because he was ill-prepared in some of his research. Made it very clear he's got some more work to do. And then quitting the field 2 days later, you think, hey, what did we do? You know, we've done some pretty wacky things on the PowerCast in nearly 5 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, and sometimes with new co-hosts, people say, gee, you don't do that kind of thing anymore. And the answer is, yes, we do, but we don't preach about it. We just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no point in preaching. I've been talking to the choir for so long that there's no real point in it. And I know you feel the same way in that regard too, Gene.
Well, we felt, maybe we had this impact on this guy. He quit the field. Now, I know we all know what the family problem is. It's nothing that involves illness, and let's just leave it be because it's a personal issue. But I've had other people undergo similar family problems, and they don't quit all their work and stop talking to people for the rest of their lives as a result. Yeah. You have to get on. So 2 days later, he says, okay, here I am again. The book is going to be out in ebook form, which is fine. Hopefully there will be a printed version. I'm awaiting a link to a copy of the ebook version of UFO Highway so I could see what it's about and see whether he does answer some of the questions and concerns. But it looks to me like he couldn't have completely revised the book in 2 days or 4 days. So perhaps some of the inadequate research that we pointed to, well, it's still there.
Well, I think we should start a thread on the Paracast forum and do a guesstimate of how many e-copies of this he'll actually sell in the first month of it being out. I would say maybe 20.
Well, you know what? Maybe what happened to him will cause more people to want to go out and buy the book. But you know what?
Oh, that's, so it was an advertising campaign.
That's kind of pushing it there. But if he doesn't push the book, he's not going to sell it because there are lots of books out there. And selling 20 or 30 copies, well, we're not insulting him. We're just saying, well, that's what it is. If you don't have a major publisher behind you, don't have a lot of publicity, it's really hard to
make it. It is. It's almost impossible.
Sure. I mean, you've had books put out by professional publishers, and it's really hard to get sales.
Yeah, well, St. Martin's Press did a very good job. I mean, they really did. And I went into 10 printings on my first book, so I can't complain. But it's really difficult. There's so much, noise out there. And zeroing in on the signal, I think, for people is becoming more and more difficult. And as a result, I think people tend to be a little gun-shy when they're spending their hard-earned cash on books and downloading e-books and that sort of thing. It's just getting harder and harder to really, create a name for yourself in this field as a bona fide serious researcher. And I think his appearance on the Paracast did indicate that maybe this book should he should hold off a little bit and do a little bit more work on it before just rushing it out and releasing it.
Maybe he needs an editor. Someone to edit the book, go through it, suggest him areas where it could be beefed up. Because that's one thing. I mean, I've written a lot of books. I've written over 30 books, mostly technology. And I know that I had to depend on copy editors, fact checkers, and everything else to make sure I did the good job that I wanted to do, because I don't think anybody can be their own editor.
No.
Not at all.
No, it's virtually impossible.
Now, today we segue back to the UFO field. And we've got a really straight-ahead guy. His name is Larry W. Bryant, and he doesn't go on shows very often. But understand, he is one of the classic whistleblowers in the UFO field, trying to get information about what the government knows, sending Freedom of Information requests. This guy has been doing it, I think, for 53 years now.
He's got quite a track record.
He started when he was 1 year old. We have to be fair about it. I don't want to say this guy's a very old man. Larry was 1 year of age, and he read a book from Major Donald Kehoe or something, and he said, you know what? I got to do this.
I'll tell him you said that, Gene.
He'll be listening before we bring him on. He already knows. I have to say, I got interested in UFOs when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before they even had anything that was flying, before they had the printed page, before they had TV, before they had even, making impressions in rocks, before they had rock books.
Your first real case that you were interested in was during the 1897 airship wave, then, is what it sounds like.
Well, the later cases. Of course, some people thinking of cases say, Gene is a mental case. And when people say that, I say, I resemble that remark.
Yeah.
I really do. Okay, so we've got Larry Bryant, who's going to talk about lots of fascinating things about UFO today, about the state of the art, about exopolitics and other things. Coming up next, the co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
In confusing times, would a simple outlook on health and beauty make sense?
If you're tired of taking dry vitamins without noticing any results, then the Bogdana Nutritional Formula is for you. Easy to take and absorb.
The absorption of liquids is 98% in comparison to only 20% for dry vitamins.
For the past 25 years, Bogdana Rejuvenating Nutritional Formula has been proven to get results.
Detox, nourish, and rejuvenate your body with this one-of-a-kind supplement that contains 150 natural and organic nutrients.
And a one-month supply is less than a dollar per day.
Take charge of your health and feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins or your money back.
Go to BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 1-800-234-5608.
That's BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 800-234-5608. Give your body what it needs and it will perform miracles in return.
For inner health and outer beauty, feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back with someone who doesn't go on the radio too much, or at least not recently, Larry W. Bryant. He's been following the UFO mystery for 53 years, which is longer than most of our listeners have been alive. And I was saying, Larry, before we joined us, and I should remind everybody our co-host is Chris O'Brien this week, but Larry, welcome to the Paracast. And I was kind of joking before we started that you got involved in UFO research when you were 1 year of age. Now, I assume it was somewhat later than that, right?
Actually, I think I was 19 at that time, and I sometimes think I still am 19 because there's always something newly inspiring to keep my interest alive in the field. So I'm 72.7 years old now, and I figure I have at least 7 years to go before I'm no longer productive.
Well, you sound very productive. We're always getting lots of emails from you about the things that you're doing. But what attracted you 53 years ago to the UFO mystery? A guy at the age of 19, maybe you're thinking of girls, you're thinking of your profession. Why UFOs?
Well, I still think of girls.
Don't tell your wife this, okay?
I'm no longer married. There's a high incidence of divorce in this field, as you probably have discerned yourself.
Well, I've done it twice, but I'm sticking with the second one.
Right, there you go. You know, when I was 19, that was 1957. June of 1957 was the date that the first issue of Flying Saucers magazine hit the newsstand. I still have that copy that I bought for 35 cents. It was published by a guy that you probably have a little reverence for, and that was Palmer, Ray Palmer.
I knew Ray Palmer personally, yes.
Ray opened the door to my thinking about the subject more than anything else. Of course, you know, back when George Adamski's first book came out, George Adamski claimed he had a direct contact with extraterrestrials flying around in saucers. That sparked my interest as well back in the mid-50s. So, but when I got my hands on and read practically every word of that Flying Saucers magazine from Ray Palmer's productions, that convinced me that there was some fertile field for the imagination, for serious intellectual inquiry, and for entertainment. And I'm in it and have been in it, as I say, from that very day.
Now, quite often people who get involved in UFO research, very early on, they come to the conclusion that was prevailing, especially in the 50s, because of Major Donald Kehoe, that UFOs represented E.T. Is that the feeling you had then?
Is that the what?
That UFOs were manifestations of beings who came here from other planets.
That's what might be called the Occam's razor approach to the subject matter. There is definitely a paranormal approach to it if you consider the wealth of reported claims of contact by so-called contactees and abductees. And I don't disparage that because that's still part of the mystery. Are people being directly contacted worldwide by visiting astronauts from elsewhere? It's a question that needs to be answered. Some people think they have already answered it. I'm not so sure yet, and that's what, as I say, it keeps my interest alive. It's a great mystery that demands our serious attention. So Kehoe was right. Kehoe was right on two elements. That the evidence that he was collecting from insider military sources pointed to the extraterrestrial origin of some of the reported saucer sightings. And the other point he was right about was that the government was not telling us back in the 50s and 60s all that it knows about UFO reality. And those two prongs of my interest in the field are, as I say, is still impelling me to go forward with my own work. And my record is viewable in a microcosm. If you go to my weblog called http://ufoview.posterous, posterous.com.
This is your site, Larry?
That's my weblog, yes.
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. For the sake of our listeners, we'll make it easy. is that when we post the link to the show, when people see your name, they can click on your name. I'll have that set up shortly, and they'll go right
That'll
to your
work.
Blog.
Okay, and your viewers, your listeners, can, as they skim through that little blog of mine, they'll see samples of my published material, references to my books, and they'll get a flavor for what is this old guy now trying to do? Why doesn't he just throw up his hands and leave the field? Well, I don't work that way. Never have. When, as I say, there's a mystery that of such a compelling nature as this one, you have to stick it out to the end. You might have little flat periods where you may burn out somewhere along the way, but you never quit. And I've known a few others in the field that never quit either. They died continuing. Look at Richard Hall. He died basically putting out his UFO history newsletter on his deathbed. And Kehoe, likewise, lived into his 90s. He was still very active, according to what his physical and mental abilities could bring to the table. So I have those luminaries. J. Allen Hynek ended up with a brain tumor, and he got the first symptom of it during a lecture where he couldn't carry on the end of the lecture, and another researcher finished it for him. These legends in the field are not for me to say. Never quit the work that you started, and hopefully build upon it and show by example what young people can do today if they pick this subject up with a serious intent and with a focus that will carry them from decade to decade.
You know, I think of the movie Galaxy Quest, that satire of Star Trek starring Tim Allen, and their motto was never give up, never surrender. And I have to tell you this, neighbors, I kind of gave up on the UFO field a few times over the years. You know, I'd say, you know, I had enough of this. I really got to go out there and I have to make a living and I have a family and I can't keep doing this. And then 2 years later, I keep doing this. So you think back, what, February of 2006, you know, I'm talking with my former co-host and we say, let's do a radio show about the paranormal with a special emphasis on UFOs. I can't give it up. We have Larry Bryant, and he is author of such books as UFO Politics at the White House, still available. We have a link to that title. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and cross food off your to-do list.
What if a natural or man-made disaster forced you to flee your house in a moment's notice? Are you prepared to grab and go? You will be with My Evac Pack, the ultimate survival kit for emergency evacuations, and we mean ultimate. My Evac Pack is an easy-to-carry bag packed with 44 essential food servings and dozens of indispensable get-out-of-town supplies. My Evac Pack comes in two sizes, a backpack or a rolling duffel bag. Both are packed with great-tasting, nutritionally dense, long-shelf-life food, plus all kinds of tools and supplies to help you and your family survive just about any kind of survival situation. See the new video and all you get in My Evac Pack at MyEvacPack.com. Spelled MyEvacPack.com. MyEvacPack.com. Or call 877-327-0365. That's 1-877-327-0365. Get My Evac Pack today because you can't predict when or where an emergency will strike.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast room. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Larry Bryant, longtime UFO researcher. The co-host Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And Larry has been giving us kind of an introduction to his involvement in the UFO field. Chris, why don't you pick up on that?
Larry, I noticed in your biographical material that you were involved writing for government publications, military and others, for quite a number of years, over 30 years. How did you initially get involved in that? And was the UFO subject somehow a reason why you got involved in writing for the government?
Well, when I left school, I had to get a job as an adult at age 20, and I ended up as a clerk typist in civil service for the Army in Fort Monroe, Virginia, my hometown area. And I also had a genetic predisposition to want to write stuff. Writing and editing became a career for me. And my efforts to write about the UFO research field were very compatible with my chosen career field. The more I wrote on that hobby of mine, the better I became as a writer and editor, and then the more I got promoted, and eventually I retired from that civil service job back in 1994, and I have not looked back since the day I walked out of the Pentagon and said, this is it, I'm a free man completely, I will have no problems having wide open activism on this subject, and activism is where it is as far as I'm concerned. I'm not just sitting around reading other people's stuff and commenting on it. I'm actually trying to do original research as best I can, and when I was talking online with Gene earlier, I realized that exopolitics is not a new form of activism. It dates back to the 50s. If you consider, for example, a fellow out in California who actually ran for president on the question of flying saucer existence. And he's dead now, but he was fairly famous when he was doing that back in California. And
was that Gabriel Green?
I can't remember his name.
Gabriel Green?
That's it, Gabriel Green.
Don't ask me how I remember that. You know, I'm as old as the hills, so I remember that.
Green, you know, had never heard of exopolitics. It's a newly coined term of several years' existence. But you know what? He was a practitioner of it. And then you can fast forward to, say, the year 2002, when Stephen Bassett ran for Congress on the UFO disclosure ticket. I helped him get signatures to get his name as an independent candidate on the congressional ballot for that year. And I can tell you this, getting 4,000 signatures was not an easy chore, but he had just a small cadre of dedicated signature gatherers, and we pulled it off. He was even invited to a town hall meeting held jointly by the Republican and the Democrat candidate, and he actually stood up there and boldly said what his motive was for getting into Congress, and that was to facilitate the disclosure that some UFOs really are hardware from elsewhere. So he became a modern-day leader in the exopolitics field.
But don't you think, though, to be fair about exopolitics, it's gotten pretty extreme. It's not just a simple quest to get information about UFOs disclosed to the public, but you know what? It gets into political agendas that don't always have a lot of authority behind them.
Well, there is a sort of like an undertone among some practitioners of questioning the motives of our current administration or the one before it. This is free speech as far as I'm concerned. And this field especially, everyone has a right to behave foolishly. There's no law against that.
I am told that every day by Mrs. Steinberg.
You know, they have to learn the hard way that being indiscriminate about their public thinking on this subject is not going to help their program. It's going to be detrimental to public acceptance of what they've set out to do. And if they go off in an extreme format, then they're going to have to learn from their mistakes.
Well, one example of something I think is extreme is they have a ballot initiative in Denver, Colorado, to create an extraterrestrial affairs commission. What's that all about?
Well, it started a couple of years ago by a single practitioner of imaginative thinking. Now, imagine that. Somebody who actually says, I'm tired of the status quo. I want to do something original. In America? How can that be in this day and age? Well, it happened. And the man's name is Jeffrey Peckman. Jeffrey decided that, based on his own personal experience, he could bring off such an event as what he's proposing to do on November the 2nd of this year at the general election in Denver. He got enough signatures, 4,000. That seems to be the magic number in activism today. In any case, he had a little small group of volunteers to help him go door to door and getting signatures on a petition to propose an ordinance be passed in the city of Denver to create and operate a commission dedicated to determining means and worthiness of having extraterrestrial interface with whatever it is that's piloting and controlling the UFO presence. Now, I have nothing against that. That's, in fact, there's a precedent for what he's done. And it happened back around 2003 or so when a MUFON member Bob Bletchman, who died a year or two ago, got the idea that there should be a state-level ballot initiative to declare the year 2001 or 2000, whichever it was, to declare that year the year of UFO awareness by proclamation. So a volunteer from Missouri, the show me state, stood up and said, I'm trying to get 30,000 signatures needed to put it on the state ballot in Missouri, but he just couldn't get enough people to help him gather those signatures. And then there's nothing wrong with having a proclamation from the governor or the mayor of a major city to declare that the status quo that we have today about UFO reality and the acceptance of the presence of possible extraterrestrial visitors, there's nothing wrong with proclaiming that awareness and acting on it in terms of educating the public, raising their, what I call their UFO ET intelligence quotient to a level that that we can produce some results rather than just sitting around looking at our ufological navels.
Well, that's a good point, and I personally agree. I think that there's a lot of pop culture misinformation out there, and especially the younger folks who are coming along interested in this subject, they tend to be swayed, I think, by sort of pop culture thinking. It is a very highly complex subject, and it does take a bit of work if you really want to get into it and into the meat of the subject. And I do agree that we do need a coordinated outreach program to educate, especially the young folks, about the subject.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of that with Larry Bryant, our co-host Chris O'Brien, in our next section of the show. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey neighbors, ever thought about creating a website? With HostGator, you can create your own website with your very own .com domain name. HostGator has a free site builder and thousands of design templates to create your website today. Whether you want to create a blog, a photo gallery, a family page, or a website for your business, HostGator has the right plan for you, starting at less than $5 a month for ultra-reliable website hosting with 99.9% uptime and true 24/7 live support available by phone, chat, or email, and based right here in the U.S. Don't be left without a website. It's more affordable and easier than you think. Sign up at technightowl.com/gator, that's G-A-T-O-R, to get the lowest possible price. At HostGator, that's technightowl.com/gator to get a special deal on all their web hosting services.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Larry Bryant makes his first appearance on the Paracast. Co-host Chris O'Brien, I'm Gene Steinberg. Of course, you're in the Paracast. And one of the things I wonder about, though, if you have these various ballot initiatives and, as we say, local or state-level initiatives, is that maybe putting the cart before the horse? Shouldn't we find out what's really going on, get whatever information governments have to offer before we set up extraterrestrial affairs commissions and stuff like that?
Well, I maintain we have enough. We've had it for years. I use the analogy of if you see one white crow, you don't need to see many more white crows to realize that not all crows are black. And the white crow in this instance is the wealth of hardcore data that we've already squeezed out of government archives, data that, had it been released upon its origination, would have raised quite a bit of eyebrows back in the population of the 1950s and 1960s. This stuff is now available for anybody to dig up and evaluate it on his own and make his own decision. I don't need any more of that material to make my own decision. I have concluded, along with some other responsible researchers like Stanton Friedman, that some of the reported flying saucer encounters represent hardware from elsewhere, piloted by intelligent beings of some sort, and that evidence, if presented, say, in a grand jury setting before witnesses and grand jurors who would obviously determine the credibility of the material presented, they would probably come out with an indictment if it were a criminal case involved. And I say that's all the evidence I need to act on. You got to move forward at one point and get away from the business as usual of collecting, analyzing, and archiving UFO sighting reports. It hasn't led us to a definitive solution, and I think that definitive solution is only going to come from the grassroots level at this point.
Okay, well, let's maybe pursue this further. You've gone after government information about UFOs, but does the government really know anything other than having loads of cases they can't explain?
Do they have other than just unexplained cases?
Do they have some answers, or do they just have all this data that they really can't?
I would say with the technological detection devices they have today, they have plenty of answers. They just don't want us to know about it for whatever reason. I've always said that the Navy has the ultimate control, the ultimate power, authority to handle this subject, and there's evidence of this floating around, if you look hard enough, that the Navy is probably the most operative controlling factor in what the government knows and when it knew it about UFO reality.
They well, that's an interesting question, too. If UFOs are seen in the air, isn't the Air Force the place to go? Why the Navy?
The Navy's been involved since Roswell. The Navy's been involved since the 1952 estimate of the situation published by the Air Force and with a notation on the bottom of the cover that the Navy's intelligence people, Office of Naval Intelligence, had a direct role in that particular report. So, as I say, they have these ships at sea with all that radar detection device, with planes that fly off of carriers, get airborne, get up there in the stratosphere with their own gun camera pictures poised, cameras poised to take pictures of these incoming objects under intelligent control. This, my friend, has to be a no-brainer as far as the government's handle on the subject. There have been, for example, Navy personnel back in the days of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, the old NICAP run by Major Kehoe, a Marine Corps major, retired. Marine Corps, of course, part of the Navy. Part of the board of directors for NICAP included a Navy admiral, Rear Admiral Roscoe Hellenketter, who became eventually a CIA director.
You know, let me just interrupt, Larry. One of the reasons why people felt skeptical of NICAP and its motives was the heavy usage of military personnel, ex-military personnel, and having a former head of the CIA, people were saying, my God, it must be a government disinformation agency. So is that a logical thing to say?
It may have had a tendency maybe to go that way, but it never did end up. It died when the Tiling Committee report came out, and its financial support withered to keep the organization alive. But as I say, I think that the military presence in NICAP was a natural outcome of Kehoe's inside contacts. Dewey Fournet, another Navy officer, was a very, very critical insider contact for Kehoe, and he did what was natural. He went to his comrades in arms and said, "Listen, we know what's going on, and the public deserves to know. And let's get an organization going, and let's use your expertise and your contact record to keep it going." And I find nothing wrong with that. I knew a medical doctor who was a flight surgeon. He also died of a brain tumor. He was very careful in his research, and he, as I say, had been a flight surgeon. And when he told me that whenever he encountered some pilots, he would always say, "What about UFOs?" And one of the answers he got back was, "You really don't want to know the answer." That was a rather cryptic way of saying, "Doctor, you know, this is not a frivolous subject at all, and it's one that pilots behind the scenes, particularly military pilots, view as a critical subject." So that's all I can say about it. At this point, there is a military role that's being played out since the 50s, and it hasn't stopped to this day.
Well, you know what? The other question I would also ask then is, do you think there is a lot of disinformation in the UFO field that people from the government, intelligence agencies, whatever, they're putting out stuff to confuse and befuddle the UFO research community?
there has been some of that. I'm not sure the extent of it. For example, that there, you know, the Benowitz affair down in New Mexico. A fellow named Benowitz was getting very close to developing his own insider sources for UFO information, and apparently the Air Force Office of Special Investigations didn't like it, so they had him set up to be fed disinformation to cause him, basically he ended up with a nervous breakdown over it. Let's hope there's not many more cases like that going on, but it wouldn't surprise me that counterintelligence people who are trained in all kinds of techniques for protecting so-called national security information, it wouldn't surprise me that if they're pushed far enough, they have to resort to efforts of rather nefarious means. And that's just part of the field we're involved in. The likelihood is always going to be there because we're knocking on a door that's remained closed for decades and maybe has a few cracks in it now. There, you know, Kehoe talked about this very subject, and he would refer to what's known as the silence group within
right.
the military. The silence group were the keepers of the secret, but there was a countervailing sentiment among other officers in the military. He said, no, this is not the way we should handle the subject. We should be open as possible, and therefore we think that the government's making a mistake. Now, this was going on back in the 50s and 60s. The silence group may or may not have much authority today, and there may be a glimmer of hope in that there are some whistleblowers who are coming forward in various ways. Some of them may or may not be as credible as others. But again, this is all we have to work with. The only game in town is what the government decides, and we have to evaluate what they put forward and what they don't put forward.
I'll tell you what, Larry, let's pursue this in our next hour. We have Larry Bryant, co-host Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.